This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Let's bring you our first conversation of the day, and I'm going to be joined by the Acting Director General for the Gauteng Provincial Government, Thabo Masebe. So much has been made of the Gauteng government's readiness to, you know, withstand the pangs of the COVID-19 third wave. Where are we? We are seeing that Gauteng is recording more than 5,000 new infections, and it accounts for a great majority of the daily new cases for COVID-19. Let me welcome my guest on the line, Thabo Masebe. Good morning and welcome to Power Talk.
Thank you. Good morning, Lukona.
I have no doubt, as the government of Gauteng, you are inundated with meetings just to, you know, make sure that you are ready to withstand this third wave. Just paint us a picture where the province is at the moment.
Yes, Lukona, as you indicated, we are seeing increasing numbers of new infections. In fact, just over the past few weeks, or over the past 2 weeks, we have seen a big surge in the new numbers of infections daily. We're now seeing on average 5,000 new cases a day. This is obviously increasing pressure on the hospitals, and it also means there is the number of active cases is very high, which means the virus is out there and many more people might get infected if we don't do anything to isolate those that are already infected and protect people who are not yet infected.
I mean, Mr. Masebe, talking about if you don't do anything, in the past week it is said that Gauteng has accounted for plus minus 61% of total cases in South Africa. Does this point to a need perhaps to have a different regime of regulations for Gauteng province? We know that this risk-adjusted strategy into the COVID-19 management tends to also say where there are hotspots identified, they should be treated like that and mechanisms put in place. So should there be different mechanisms for Gauteng province outside what has been put out there for the country as level 2 lockdown?
Yes, Lukona. We have already made a call to the national government to say that please help us. We need extra measures to ensure that we are able to contain or at least limit the rate of increase. And those measures, of course, would include to there's a Gauteng residents are highly mobile.
Yes, and in a very small geographic province.
Yes, so we need to look at all of those. Gatherings are obviously remain a key driver of new infections, but not only big gatherings. You'd be surprised to note that, in fact, even your small household gatherings, where about 10 people or so meet for a party or just a social gathering which lasts several hours. Now it is winter, people tend to stay indoors, and those are very risky as well, because you have people who ordinarily do not spend time together. They don't live together, and they go and visit each other during weekends and so on. That's when the virus is also being transmitted, because you don't know where the other people that you meet with may have been to. They may have been to areas that are risky. They may have been to hotspots. They may have made contact with somebody who already has the virus.
In fact, you are raising something so important that the scale of the gatherings is not really the issue here. It's just about remaining safe. So what are some of the measures you are appealing for from the National Coronavirus Command Council to be implemented in the province of Gauteng? Do you believe that the province ought to be moved to a higher level of the lockdown? Do you foresee, you know, a call for some gatherings to be prohibited and some restrictions perhaps to the capacity of restaurants in terms of its intake?
Certainly, we are looking at all of that. This is what we are suggesting, that let's look at the number of people who are gathering, restrict the number of people who are gathering, but also look at the compliance in restaurants and other places where people go for entertainment. And of course, you have the things like funerals, and now people tend to have after tears.
Yeah.
All of those things contribute to the increased number of infections. So we'll be asking the national government to look at that. In some areas, it might just be strengthening the compliance enforcement, which means by the police and all the other people who are responsible for enforcement of compliance to ensure that people do comply.
Mm.
You go to a number of places, retail sector, and find that people don't even observe the markings on the queues,
yeah,
where they are supposed to stand. They are standing too close to each other and so on, almost pushing one another. We have to make sure that there is compliance with all of those measures. And of course, individuals will have to continue to practice the safety measures, wearing a mask when you are among other people, and keeping a safe distance from the next person, as well as washing your hands regularly and using a sanitizer where possible.
I'm glad you are raising the issue of sanitizers, because I did want to ask you that, you know, the regime of washing your hands and making sure that you sanitize is very important. Earlier on last year, when we started dealing with the pandemic, there were serious efforts by governments across provinces to inspect the sanitizers that were being used in various public places, including your malls and shopping centers. Are you still carrying out this work? Because some people are still raising the issue that some institutions are getting away with using sanitizers that do not have 70% alcohol content.
Yes, we're still inspecting. Remember, it's not so much about the 70% alcohol content. I think the WHO has now revised the regulations. So some sanitizers, for instance, do not even have alcohol for those people who prefer not to use alcohol. But they've been checked. We inspect them and check that they are indeed effective. But we need to do more. So as I said to you, that the problem might also be with the enforcers who appear to be relaxed.
Yes.
So we're making a call that tighten the rules, but even before you tighten the rules, let's have more enforcement activities by the police and all other institutions that are tasked with ensuring that there's compliance to all these regulations.
Now, last year we saw the WHO praising your public health strategy, where you were deploying various members of the, you know, community healthcare workers, where they were going to do tracing and community screening. There's no doubt a high need for this now in Gauteng. What are the numbers like in terms of the people you are deploying to conduct community screening and, contact tracing?
There's more than 10,000 people in the province who go to different parts of the province to conduct contact, to do tracing, and ensure that those people who need to be tested are directed to facilities where they can get tested. We're also, in terms of testing, using the rapid testing method, the antigen testing, so that we don't wait for results. Once the antigen test reveals that a person could be positive for COVID-19, we then refer them for the other test, which would confirm the results.
It seems as if, Mr. Masebe, the health system is under strain. Jaden Tega, last night, sort of tweeting that the hospitals in Joburg are full because they had a family friend in an ambulance who was experiencing heart failure, and they thought it's likely COVID-19 related, and the person couldn't find a bed. And some people came on there saying that this seems to be true, because some private hospitals have been saying they are treating patients on parking lots. What is the picture today in terms of the burden on the health system in Gauteng?
Yes, we are feeling the pressure, especially in the private sector. We are in communication with the private hospitals on a daily basis, and we share data. On average, they are standing at around 80% occupation. Some of their facilities don't even have enough beds for ICU or high care. We continue to manage this thing together. In the private sector, in the public hospitals, there's still some capacity, but obviously, that some people may prefer to go to the private facilities, but we work together as private and the public sector to ensure that we're able to cope with the pressure, or that we are able to provide care for those people who require hospital care.
At some point, you were decommissioning the Nasrec Field Hospital. At one stage, it was in part and not in whole. What is the picture there at Nasrec? Do you think that you need that facility to come back on board?
We have decommissioned it fully. We don't need. There's no need for it. We have created additional capacity in some of the public hospitals, like Chris Hani Baragwanath. There is added capacity there where we could cater for people who require hospital care. We also have added capacity at George Mukhari Hospital, and we have also recently opened the AngloGold Ashanti Hospital in Carltonville. We have also created more capacity at the Bronkhorstspruit Hospital. So there is capacity in a number of places. The field hospital that was at Nasrec,
yes.
The problem with that is that it was not providing the same kind of care that you would get from the hospitals. For instance, you can't have ICU there. You can't have high care there.
But you were meant to use it as a triage center more than a clinical treatment facility, though. That was my understanding.
That's correct. You are right.
So where are you doing the triage now?
We are doing it at the added capacity that we have in the hospital, those that I've mentioned, and a few others.
Okay. My guest is Acting Director General for the Gauteng Provincial Government, Thabo Masebe. We are talking through all things COVID-19 related and the readiness of the province in tackling and managing the third wave of coronavirus. Our line is 0861-987-000 if you want to be part of this conversation. So, Mr. Masebe, I take it the AngloGold Carltonville facility you are alluding to is the one that was meant to have 174 ICU bed facilities. Is this the case? How much capacity do you have in that facility?
Yeah, it is not all the 170-something capacity, but we have some capacity up to about 100. The rest will be finalized, so we have decided to open it even before the other beds are concluded. So at least we now have some capacity there.
Now, keeping in touch with hospitals and given the third wave, when can we expect Charlotte Maxeke Hospital to reopen?
Look, Ona, that's a big problem for us, a big concern, a big worry. When we closed the hospital in April following the fire that broke out on the 16th of April, we hoped to close the hospital only for 7 days.
Yes.
But immediately when the engineers went to do an inspection. They discovered that while the fire was contained in block 3 and 4, but its impact was felt in other parts of the hospital. In fact, almost all the wards felt the impact of the fire because the smoke traveled from the area where it started into all other parts.
Yes.
And that is what necessitated the evacuation of the hospital. That was caused by a number of factors. One, that the hospital did not have enough equipment to contain fire in one area, or it also did not have equipment to contain the smoke, because if the smoke was contained, then the other parts of the hospital would not have been affected.
Mm.
Now, with all of those, the fire department, the Johannesburg Fire Department, also had to conduct its own inspection. And they said, we have to address all of those issues before we can reopen. And which is correct. We have to deal with all the issues, especially around the fire safety, to ensure that in the event of fire breaking out, the people who use the hospital, the patients and the staff and all other public users are not placed at risk.
So as we speak today, there is no, you know, prospective date for reopening the hospital.
I don't want to mention dates now because
you don't have them.
I've mentioned dates before. They came and passed.
And you don't.
Now,
so basically, in all fairness, we can't commit to a date as we speak today.
We can't commit to a date, but we are working very hard to ensure that at least within a month, we should have that hospital back into operation. We had hoped to open the radiation oncology building, but just when we did the last check, we actually found out that we can't open it. One of the critical elements or factor in reopening is ensuring that you have a functioning equipment that can contain fire in one area.
Okay.
And one of that is fire doors. We have to install the fire doors even in the oncology, radiation oncology building. And until we install those fire doors, we will not get a fire certificate.
Okay. Please do hold for me. I want to go to 0861-987-000. Basil, good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm great, man. So mine is this. I think there's a lot of issues that the Gauteng government is not addressing. The issue of poverty. As much as we're dealing with a pandemic, what is going to happen in terms of, we know that most of people are in an informal economy.
Mm.
What are their plans there? And in the issue of the hospital, look, as much as the government spokesperson is saying that they're going to open within a month and it's going to be revised, we all know that it's going to be revised again.
Mm.
You know, the lack of efficiency within the government, when they need to I don't know what is the correct word, when they bypass the tender regulations,
yes.
They usually bypass for unimportant things. Important things like reopening hospitals within an pandemic like this. They're not doing that. We when David Makura came into power, he promised heaven and earth, not even a single thing. I mean, in this pandemic, I don't have hope in this government. To be honest with you, we're not going to see anything.
Okay.
So the one question that I want him to ask to answer like precisely is,
yes,
what is the plan in terms of, because people now they are in the informal economy.
Okay.
So that poverty question,
I've got you, Basil.
Exactly.
I'll put it to him. Lebohang, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm all right. I just wanted to ask your guest on the deaths that are coming out. How many of those people are actually very new cases?
Sorry, just pick up, Lebohang.
Yes, I was saying I wanted to ask your guest how many of the new cases are where people were not affected within the first and the second, because now the other thing is we are dealing with a virus and you can't cure a virus. So now what are the conditions on which the enzymes of the COVID enzyme actually become overpower the human enzyme?
Okay, I'll put that question. So reinfection there. Abraham, good morning.
Good morning, how are you, sir?
I'm well, how are you?
I'm fine. Yes, because I would like to ask the guy the impact of the load shedding during this winter to the people. Because the people are, we are sleeping in the dark and we are wake up in the dark. So I heard now they are complaining with the cases that are increasing. What is the impact of the load shedding?
Okay.
Because they said the virus don't want to be caught.
Yeah.
So, but now the people we sleep in the dark.
Okay.
Wake up in the dark.
Abraham, I got you, Mr. Masabe. Those questions, including power blackouts and their impact on COVID-19 management.
Obviously, yes. Power blackouts. We would like a situation where there are no power blackouts. But the reality now is that we don't have enough capacity. And that matter, you would recall the president addressed last week. I hope that when people take full advantage of the new regulations, we will be able to have more independent producers or more private sector companies producing electricity so for their own use, and where they are able to sell the excess to the national grid, so that the capacity of Eskom can increase.
But that is only in 2025 that some of those announcements could come to fruition. In the short term, what is the strategy?
No, in the short term, look on, some of the things can be done, including the renewables and all the other measures. A lot of these things are being done by national government, but in Gauteng, we're working with municipalities, all the metros, to ensure that they are able to use their own resources to increase generation capacity. Some of the municipalities, like the city of Joburg and Tshwane, do have capacity to generate their own electricity. So we're working with them to increase that capacity. And of course, other municipalities are also looking into a number of projects that can be implemented to increase or to generate electricity.
Any social security measures for those in precarious employment?
We continue to deal with that. Obviously, SASA does what they have to do, but as the provincial government, right at the start of the lockdown in 2020, we had various programs aimed at assisting those that immediately find themselves in a vulnerable position. We continue to assist them with food and shelter. And the various government departments also have anti-poverty programs which are being implemented. The Department of Social Development runs a number of projects. Some of them involve assisting people to produce food which for their own consumption, but also they sell some of the food to government departments. So we continue to do all of those things with a number of departments working together. So the Department of Social Development, in this case, will work together with the Department of Agriculture and Rural Development, where they look at, they go to areas that are severely affected by poverty and work with the people there to help them produce food for their own consumption and also for the supply to other areas, in particular government departments.
Mr. Masabe, before I let you go, this question around, are we seeing any reinfections of people who had been infected with COVID-19, particularly in the second wave, or that data hasn't come out as yet?
Hey, that question, Lukona, must be answered by the scientists. But I do know that there are a few areas where isolated cases of reinfection were reported.
Okay.
But mainly, we conducted a study, a seroprevalence study with the Wits University, and that showed us that the areas where the seroprevalence showed high percentages of infections are now not seeing increased numbers.
Okay.
The increased numbers are seen in the areas that did not see
a high impact of the second wave.
Yes.
Now let's go to something that you might answer. Helen Joseph Hospital, is the water situation sorted out then?
Yes, the water situation has been sorted out. It was as a result of the low pressure from both Rand Water and the and Joburg Water, but we are dealing with it. We have contingency measures, which include ensuring that we provide water with the fire tankers, so that we pump water into the reservoir, so that it never run low or empty. So we'll continue with all those contingency measures.
Okay, I'm out of time, but I would like a yes or no to this one. Are you happy with the vaccination rollout progress in Gauteng?
No, not at all. We are not happy. We need to see more people getting vaccinated. We have enough doses, and we are not using them. So our call to the, especially the 60 years and older, please go to any vaccination center near where you live and get vaccinated.
Okay. Thank you so much for joining us, Thabo Masebe.
Thank you. Thank you, Lukon.
Acting Director General, Gauteng Provincial Government, joining us on all things COVID-19 in the Gauteng province.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.